Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here is your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me over the phone today is Mr. Joe Dembick. And hi, Joe, how are you?
Good, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. And Joe, before we get going, as I usually do in opening a show, I want to pray the St. Augustine's Prayer to the Holy Spirit. So,
okay.
All right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I may always be holy. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, Joe, how are you today?
Doing well. It's a Friday. It's the holiday season. There's a lot to be thankful for.
Absolutely. And it's not raining.
Yeah.
Or snowing.
Yeah. Lots of the good weather, too. Yep.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen and faithful listeners of Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and 1420 WCOJ in Coatesville in Chester County. Ladies and gentlemen, our faithful listeners, I have asked Joe Dembick to come on and talk about a program he's heading up at St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Fairless Hills. And the name of the program is Walking with Moms in Need. I want to give a little background, Joe's background. So Joe graduated from the University of Pennsylvania with a BA in psychology and got his master's in school counseling from Eastern University. He is currently the assistant director of college guidance at Holy Ghost Prep in Bensalem, PA. Joe was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school, K through 12, but didn't own his faith until college, largely thanks to Penn's Newman Center and the friends and mentors he met there. Prior to working at Holy Ghost, he was a speaker with Generation Life, a dynamic movement of young people committed to spreading the pro-life and chastity messages to other young people. He gave pro-life and chastity talks to thousands of students in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and beyond. Joe is a parishioner of St. Francis Cabrini in Fairless Hills, where he is part of the men's prayer group and serves as lector, as well as the coordinator of the newly formed Walking with Moms in Need Committee. So, Joe, after that wonderful background of yours, kind of delve into what you and I, you know, talked about, kind of starting at the top, like how this program came together a couple of years ago. So I'll just hand it over to you, and the floor is yours.
Sure. Thanks, Dave. So this program called Walking with Moms in Need is essentially just a blueprint developed by the USCCB. And you know, they prepared to launch it in March of 2020, and we all know what happened in March of 2020. Mm-hmm. So really, it's kind of been almost forgotten for the past few years because of the pandemic.
Wow.
Of course, there was a lot to go on there, but I can't recall how I first came across it. I think, you know, I used to get signed up for like different Catholic emails and such. I think it just might have popped up that way, and I investigated. Essentially, it's a blueprint for either a diocese or a parish to do that is a year-long process to walk in the shoes of local pregnant and parenting women in need.
Mm-hmm.
So a mom who's pregnant with her first child, or a mom, multiple children, who's just looking for some extra help. The idea is not to turn the parish or a diocese into a full-fledged pregnancy center, but really to make better known the resources that are available in the area, to prepare parishioners to help out moms in need, and really just to build a culture of life. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's just very much needed.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My involvement in this, as I said, I just stumbled upon it, I would say maybe 6 months ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And around that time was when the Supreme Court case overturning Roe v. Wade occurred. And so, you know, abortion became a big topic in the United States. And as I, as you mentioned in my bio, I work for a group called Generation Life, and that was on the educational side of the issue. The reasoning behind Generation Life was to give these talks about pro-life and chastity to students. So to make abortion unthinkable, to talk to students before they're getting into dating relationships or serious relationships that might lead to abortion even being an option for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great work. I'm in education. I've always loved working with students and kids and such. But in regards to the issue of abortion, I recognized that so much of what I felt I saw in the pro-life movement was, you know, there's a political side and there's a prayer side and there's the education side. But the activist side, the side that actually kind of works with moms in need, seemed just so limited to just the very small pregnancy centers. And, you know, many people within the church, you know, claim to be pro-life, and they are pro-life. They are against abortion. But what your average parish does can sometimes just be limited to a fundraiser here or there throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Like the baby bottle effort by Legacy of Life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm very familiar with Marie Joseph. In fact, mm-hmm. I just interviewed her about a month ago or so.
Wonderful.
And she's been a frequent guest, and actually she preceded me at the station, because the station. And she was part of a show called The Voices of the Unborn.
Mm-hmm.
That was the brainchild, and the driver was a gentleman by the name of Bill Miller, and he was kind mm-hmm. of in the ground floor of the whole movement started by the Stantons, Stanton.
They're awesome.
Yeah, so
they're the rock stars of it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But anyway, a little background. But Joe, let me thank you for that. Your run up to that. But in my reading of the notes mentioned earlier in kind of the warm up when we were mm-hmm. in the on deck circle, I see three pillars, and well, I gleaned that from the writings. But this whole effort started on the 25th anniversary of Evangelium Vitae in 2020 when the Pope started writing. Pope Francis was writing about, hey, we need to help moms. I mean, you know, the mission of the church, as we all know, is to help the lowly, the poor, the homeless, and anyone in need. That's Christ's directive to us, basically. That's his life, and that should be our life. You know, we're not doing enough for moms, you know, pregnant moms, mm-hmm. you know, and this is writ large. This is around the world, you know,
yeah.
So my point is, from a strategic standpoint in my military mind, planner's mind, so the Pope, you know, was setting the tone in the stage, but then it percolated down from the top down.
That's correct. Yeah, that's kind of how this initiative began, right? Evangelium Vitae was written by Pope St. John Paul II, 27 years ago now. That's about as old as me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's just simply affirming the church's constant teaching from the Gospels, from Christ, of just the value and unique, precious gift that every human life is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the duty of all of us who share that gift, which is, say, every human being, to respect, protect, and serve all human beings. So Pope Francis and the bishops took this on, and one thing that Pope Francis said in his homily that kind of kicked off this initiative from 2020 is he says that our parishes are called to be islands of mercy in the midst of the sea of indifference.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that just really stuck with me. That's something that's, again, big from the founding of Walking with Moms in Need. And it's true, right? Like, so many of us just go to church because it's what we do on Sundays, and we are Catholic, and that is a wonderful start. But we are called to live out the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And many of us do that within our families, of course. Like, I have an infant. I am clothing the naked and feeding the hungry every day.
Mm-hmm.
But in all seriousness.
Yes, you are. Well, I was going to ask, how are they doing?
My daughter's doing wonderful. She'll be a year old in a few weeks. And my wife is expecting our second in March.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know how challenging and fun and beautiful and crazy and chaotic that parenting could be. Mm-hmm. And I have an amazing wife. We both have good jobs. We have a great support systems. Both our families are close. You know, mm-hmm. she has young cousins that she's going to grow up with her entire life. Like, I'm so blessed, and it's still so hard. It's definitely a sacrifice, and I need every bit of grace to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
this Absolutely.
Is all these things from my personal experience to the things that we're talking about from the bishop's documents fuel me to say that at my local level, right? Subsidiarity. Mm-hmm. At my local parish, what can we do to be an island of mercy? Mm-hmm. What can we do to help people who feel like they don't have any help or feel like there are so many options, I'm overwhelmed for many that just abortion seems like a quick and easy way out? That's why I'm starting the initiative at the parish.
Well, let me ask you this about that. You know, you said 6 months ago when the Supreme Court, thank God, overturned Roe. Look how the heated battle in the country for 50 years since Roe in 73. But then, to my mind, is like, so you heard that 6 months ago, but
yeah.
it really spoke to your heart and soul, like, wow, you know, that resonates with me, but how can I get involved? What can I do? So did
yeah.
you approach, because, you know, we both go to the same parish, and mm-hmm. And I've mentioned Monsignor, Michael McCormack's name many times in my interviews, because I always shout out for St. Francis Cabrini. And I know many our listeners love their parishes all throughout the archdiocese, but Monsignor McCormack is so vibrant and so active and proactive. So did you broach it with him, or did he come to you and ask you, or did you open the dialogue with him?
Yeah,
just a little bit of history, if you don't mind.
Sure. So concretely, what we've been doing, what I'd done was after, like, yeah, and taking some time to think about it, talking to my wife, like, you know, I do have an infant. I wasn't sure what I was getting into, but I thought it was worth starting. I reached out to Monsignor like late July, early August of this year. I just said, hey, there's a new pro-life initiative I'd like to start at the parish. And we met in the rectory. We talked it over for a bit. And Monsignor gave his blessing that all steam ahead.
Great.
And so let's talk practical. So walking with moms in need, like I said, mm-hmm. it's a blueprint from the USCCB. It's something that each parish is expected to do and implement. The first phase was just getting the word out and reaching out to some committee members, the team that sort of be leading the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that, reaching out to some people individually within our parish, St. Francis Cabrini, who I thought would have both the acumen, like the skills, but also the experience to contribute. So I wanted to get some young adults like myself involved. I wanted to get some, you know, some of our more veteran parishioners, but I also wanted to get like the working parents involved too.
Mm-hmm.
We have somebody on our committee who's, you know, a mom of three, all in elementary school. And we have someone in our committee who has, you know, her oldest son's in college and she has some children with special needs. So she's like been a mom on her own too, who just like had to deal with this stuff. And that's the kind of voices I really need to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
Again, the whole idea is that walking at moms in need is walking in the shoes of a pregnant woman or a mom who's in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so having people who have been in that situation and have come out of it is just a huge insight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was kind of doing in the fall. And then October, I spoke at our masses, just kind of drumming up support, letting the parish know what's happening. And we just had our first big committee meeting right before Thanksgiving with our core team. And our next, really 6 months to a year, our goal is to visit and document and research all the pregnancy resources in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So like Marie Joseph's amazing Women's Centers of America,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go talk to her. And just we want to, each of us at these different resources, put ourselves in the shoes of a mom and say, okay, if she goes here, what can she expect to get? What sort of resources are available? What's mm-hmm. the process? Because
exactly.
if you find yourself in that situation where you're overwhelmed with all your kids, or you've had like a loss of a spouse, or you're considering abortion, or, you know, whatever, you lose housing, anything can happen, right?
Absolutely.
We want to be able to, should a mom hear about this and come to St. Francis Cabrini, mm-hmm. that starting with the core team, but eventually hopefully many parishioners can say, hey, I can walk with you. It's not just about compiling resources, Dave, because, mm-hmm. you know, everybody can Google.
Absolutely.
Everybody
Joe.
Can pick
yes.
up the phone and call. And that's wonderful. And we plan to have a pamphlet with all the phone numbers, all the information. But our biggest hope is that once we are all said and done, mm-hmm. we're going to have a parish response. Then, in some small way, St. Francis Cabrini can contribute to helping moms in need in our local area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's having a consistent diaper like pantry
mm-hmm.
or a baby pantry. Maybe we partner with Legacy of Life and, I don't know, help their clients get to and from appointments. Maybe we have like lack of a better word, like a mentor-mentee system with older moms and younger moms. Maybe it's a mom support group. These are some of the examples from the USCC Boot website of what parishes have done or what parishes could do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you there. Yeah, they have several links. Well, one is tools for documenting an inventory of local resources for pregnant mothers in need. And then it goes into ideas for improving parish responses, prayers for building a culture of life, and a civilization of love. And it says, then reflections on the teachings of Evangelium Vitae, Gaudium, and Laudato Si. Well, at the end of this, I wanted to ask you to direct folks if they want to read more about it, but they can go see everything I did. As you said, people Google all the time now. You know, this whole program.
Yeah, and see how much you can find out so easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, like, that's great. Again, if you're in just like, casual, I want to learn about this thing. But if you're like, oh, my gosh, my life is over. I'm pregnant, or my life is over. I have another mouth to feed, or my boyfriend broke up with me, and he's my housing and my source of income, or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thought is that Monsignor McCormick said in his homilies the days I spoke that, you know, around the area, people know St. Francis Cabrini for the Pot of Gold Drive. And that's wonderful. It's a fun little lottery. But he hopes that we are known around the Lower Bucks area for this initiative once it gets off the ground.
Yes.
Because if a mom in crisis knows, hey, my mom goes to this parish to have something, maybe if I call them, they can help. Or like I saw a billboard or I saw a sign as I was driving by, you know, call this number and somebody at the parish will help me.
Absolutely.
And the goal is, again, not just to have this list of resources, but that people in our parish will be willing to walk with a mom if she finds herself in this situation. Because, as I said, in June, with the legality of abortion changed in our country for the better, I thought that this is wonderful. This is great. This is a blessing. And hopefully abortion becomes illegal in more places. But that won't matter if we're not helping the people who would consider it, or the people who are still suffering with poverty or lack of resources, or just, you know, the basic thing is the lack of love, right?
Absolutely.
The lack of the good news of the gospel that Jesus is risen, he's Lord, and he loves us. Like, if people don't have that in their lives, then they're still going to be struggling.
Absolutely.
And so whatever happens in Pennsylvania, I hope, you know, initiatives like this happen in different places, and we can help families.
To your point, it's, I mean, starting at the ground level, the parish level. That's why it's placed there. The great working program, and Joe, you're heading it. And again, you're in the formation stages, bringing folks together that you think would be key to this. And it runs the gamut from, you know, a young mom with three kids married, or a young mom divorced, three kids. But it runs all the gamut, you know, to a couple with so many kids. And you did say something that, well, if it's a crisis situation, but then it's also for like non-crisis, but it can be overwhelming, as you say, maybe a more established family. They already have three or four kids, and then it's an unexpected pregnancy in that, which can cause a lot of worry and concern as well. So, I mean, it runs the gamut.
Yeah. Part of my thinking with doing this too, I was thinking, like, how can I respond and why this seems so appealing, walking with moms in need. I want the Catholic Church to be a place that people can turn to. Like, I feel like it might have been once before. I mean, I'm in my mid-20s. You know, of course, with the way church history has been the past 25 years, church has gotten a bad rap, all the scandals and such. But, you know, our ultimate call of Jesus is, you know, one, to spread the gospel, you know, and then, like, how do we get to heaven? Jesus said, whatever you do for least to my brothers and sisters, you do for me. And so
amen, brother.
Our parishes should be places that people can turn to. You know, my school I work at is right down the street. Like, I almost see it from my office window, from a Protestant church that has a food pantry. And the days that they had the pantry, the line is, you know, out the door, down the block, because people are in need.
Oh, absolutely.
And I want to be able to serve people in need through our parish. And this is hopefully one ministry that can start doing that to a specific population, but really just, you know, eventually it's just for families, right? For families to be able to turn to.
You know, you mentioned the Protestant church with a food pantry, and you mentioned Pot of Gold, because now we have this beautiful newer marquee at the front, which is digitized and advertising a lot of stuff. I drive by, or I go to daily mass or whenever, and there's the Pot of Gold advertised. But we also, at Cabrini itself, there is Martha's Cupboard, which is a food pantry. So we have our own, and then my wife Barbara volunteers every other Wednesday down at Mary's Cover at St. Mike's or Catholic Social
awesome.
Service. But again, they're there, but it's just, and some people know about it,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot that don't know about it, as you say.
Right. Yeah, you know, like part of the goal, again, Walkie as Moms in Need, to summarize, has kind of three aims. Mm-hmm. One is to assess all the resources available in the area. So it's kind of like we want to be a public, you know, like a PR agent for Martha's Cover and Mary's Cover and mm-hmm. all the other things that are happening around our parish.
Yep.
Two is to identify gaps in those coverage and see where maybe places are lacking. So, you know, for example, you say, okay, we have a ton of food pantries around. We don't really have many places where women can get affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Or we don't have any like crisis housing available that's within a short drive or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the pregnancy center is great, but they are always in need of volunteers. They're always in need of X and they don't always have enough.
Mm-hmm.
Get the resources, identify gaps in the resources. And the third thing is the parish response. So maybe, you know, our response is as simple as we really need to make sure people know what's out there.
Absolutely.
Or we really need to have a constant diaper supply. Again, the things I already mentioned, the for moms. So, like, or maybe it's just as simple as that these moms feel so alone. They don't have any mentorship. Like, you know, if we're looking really big picture, the past 60 years have kind of decimated the nuclear family in America.
Mm-hmm.
Families are smaller. Families are divorced. Families are more fractured than ever before. So maybe just they need support. And I know we have many wonderful parishioners at St. Francis that if they had some structure and they had some means and guidance, they would be happy to walk with somebody else in need.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we're more connected digitally, but less connected personally than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe.
That, yes. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Whatever comes out of this ministry, and, you know, hopefully in a year I have a lot more to report.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully whoever comes out of this ministry is just the connection of people and getting people help they need in big ways and small.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word that comes to mind that is throughout the literature, not just about this program, but coming out in the last several years from the Vatican was accompaniment. We are to
mm-hmm.
accompany not just moms in need, but everyone. I mean, as you say, oh, here's your formula, have a good day. I mean, befriending people, I mean, getting to know them, and maybe,
mm-hmm.
As you say, building that into the program at Cabrini, where you personalize, you get into like a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
You by empathy and sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you may have been there like 10, 15, 20 years ago, and then you want to bring that and pay it forward. So that's a great thing, Joe.
Yeah.
So let me say it this way. So where are you? You said in 6 months you're probably going to have something concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you having monthly meetings,
sure.
you know, quarterly good. Meetings
yeah.
with the team?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
So assembled the team kind of like October. We got a first big meeting in November.
Mm-hmm.
And at that first meeting, we're kind of entering what is basically phase two of our plan, which is the longest one, which, again, we're not just Googling these resources. We are going to go out and have phone calls and visits with them. So that's pretty labor intensive for
a
committee of working people. So our thought is that we're going to try to meet monthly or so and just update things. But now it's kind of up to each individual committee member, myself included, of course, to go out there and put ourselves in the shoes of these moms. If I were to pick up the phone and call this place and visit them, what would it be like? And
mm-hmm.
talk to these organizations, find out what they provide and what they need and what they lack and discern. And I was talking to my committee and it was just like, it's the simplest thing as like, oh, this mom works on weekends. So if they don't have late night hours, then we can't refer them there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's going to be the next 6 months. And like I said, the blueprint budget is 6 months. I expect 6 months because it's definitely a bit of work for all of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But slowly but surely, we're going to do that. And then I'm hoping in the summer, early summer, we'll be able to sit down and say, here's all the information we got. Let's analyze it. Let's synthesize it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's the gap finding.
Yes.
Where are we strong? Where do we need improvement? And so hopefully by next fall, in a perfect world,
mm-hmm.
there's some sort of response from the St. Francis Cabrini Parish
mm-hmm.
saying, based
yes.
on what we found, one, here's all these great resources you can do. Here's all these great things that if you're in need, we have stuff about housing and stuff about food and stuff about social services. But we at St. Francis Cabrini, this is going to be the small step that we take to contribute to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, we'll be having, that'll be our base, right? That takes this hard work for a base. But in the years going forward, the idea is that we are able to educate our parishioners on this and make this a big part of our parish identity. So it's not just like I go to St. Francis Cabrini, I go to Mass, but I know we have this great program at my parish. So if ever comes up that there's a mom in need, we can help. There is a video posted on YouTube from a parish in Detroit that did this program, and they have a Walking with Moms in Need chapter, and they run it. And it was just something really simple. They used it as an example in the video. There was a mom who just gave birth to triplets, and she moved back in with her mother. So you have two women and three infants.
Wow.
That's
yes.
really tough.
Yeah,
and
tough.
So the parish just came together, and they had sign-up sheets, and they would maybe just sign up to babysit, just be there with the moms so they can get something done around the house. Or they couldn't babysit, they would bring over casseroles or dinners. Like that, it's as simple as that is what I'm hoping to do. It's just like if there's a need that we know about it and we do something about it.
Then you fill it. If there's a need,
we're all
fill
a family.
It. Well, Joe, I mean, I was just thinking, what inspiration from the Holy Spirit? But then I was thinking back to look at our patron saint, our patroness, Mother Cabrini, St. Francis Cabrini, and where her story briefly, and many people already know it, but she was wanted to go to the Far East, you know, back in, when was the late 1800s or early 1900s, and I forgot the Pope at the time, but he said, "Oh no, I want you to go to America," you know, and but her whole mission was, you know, setting up schools and taking care of the poor, especially poor Italians. I invite people to go read about St. Francis Cabrini, and it's F-R-A-N-C-E-S, Francis Cabrini. What a story she has. We can always invoke her and the Holy Spirit and the good Lord, you know, on this walk, on your walk, to help moms. Excellent. Well, Joe, I mean, we can go into kind of a wrap-up phase. So what do you want to leave our listeners with? I mean, you gave us a great, this is where, how I started, this is what we've done, and this is where we want to be. But what would you ask of our listeners if they can help in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah. Well, if you're in the greater Lower Bucks area, if you're around St. Francis Cabrini, besides the core team that's kind of doing the heavy lifting at this point, once the program gets off the ground, we're going to need volunteers. And we don't know what the volunteer's job is going to be yet. But if you feel called to help out, maybe give the rectory a call. Heard about this program, and I want to volunteer my services. And we'll put you on our list. We'll call you with updates. But if you're not from the St. Francis Cabrini area, maybe discern doing this at your parish. And that's going to require definitely some work on your part, right? It's a process. But how else are we going to respond to the needs of the world as the church if, you know, we don't do anything?
Absolutely.
Our pastors work really hard.
Yeah.
You know, often
and they
their
cannot
work
do it all.
No. And, you know, if you're a young person, you know a young person who's looking to get involved in their church, maybe this is a good way. This is a huge need. Part of my goal with doing this ministry is just to be an example and show to young people that our church wants to put the money where our mouth is. It's not just about saying that, you know, we're pro-life and abortion is wrong, but it's like when the push comes to shove, we want to love people where they are and serve them where they are.
Amen, brother.
Mother Cabrini did.
Yeah. Well, let me...
So those are my two things.
Okay. Well, thanks, Joe. Let me give out the rectory number to St. Francis Cabrini Parish Office. But mind you, the program is in its fledgling beginning stages, but I can give that number out now. 215-946-4040. Again, 215-946-4040. Joe, came to my mind was servant leadership in business and management. Hearing more and more men and women adopting, or maybe in the military, adopting that leadership style where, I mean, we are servants. But you are the epitome of a young servant leader in my mind. And I want to you know, thank you for coming on and encourage you to keep up the great work. And
it's like what Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility. That's what we're all about.
All right, Joe. Well, thank you again for coming on Spirit of the Delaware Valley. This is Dave Parker, and let me give out WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County. And if any of you have questions about this interview with Mr. Joe Dembick, give the station a call at 215-345-1570, and I'll answer you or get back to you when I can. Again, look up Walking with Moms in Need. And Joe, thank you so much for coming on, and have a great Advent and a Merry Christmas and a great New Year. So thank you, Joe.
You're welcome, Dave. Same to you.
Okay. God bless.